It's time for Her a Confidence and Her a Concerns. It is a play on one of the games we really enjoy here, Confidence and Concerns, Cons and Cons. But this time, it's about the Hurricanes. What are you most confident in? What are you most concerned about? And it's becoming more real because postseason is getting near. So what are you concerned about becomes a bigger deal. What are you confident in becomes what you're going to build your postseason run on. As always, I have good news and bad news. Which do you want first? You always say bad news. I'll go first. And I have to admit, when it comes to concerns, I struggled.
I did too.
I'm
glad we're on the same page with this.
I mean, I was going to spin zone some stuff. I was going to find, something creative. I was going to maybe make a joke. I'm grasping at straws. The only thing I could come up with is...
It's a good problem to have, though.
Great problem to have. I mean, that could be my concern, my confidence, is that I couldn't find a concern. My concern is, and this is grasping at straws, I know. It's a first class problem, right? My private jet takes too long to refuel, but it is a problem.
Or to take all, yeah.
Is goalie in the postseason, is goalie kind of like quarterback, where if you have two, it's kind of like you don't have one? Meaning... I don't think they're going to go one game, one game, one game, one game like they've been going in the regular season, in the postseason. But are you real? Each of them just had a shutout. Like their most recent start was a shutout. Are you really going to take one of those guys and say, yeah, you're not our guy for the postseason run? And how does that affect the team, right? Because Freddie, quite honestly, Freddie's playing better. But Piotr's been there all year. Right, he's been through the battles with this team. It's just, again, grasping at straws. I completely understand having two goalies playing really well is not something most teams would be concerned about, but there are some weird social dynamics with the way they've gotten to this point. So it's not a concern, but I needed a concern, so it's my concern.
I think I go with Freddie. I get
your concern is Freddie.
No. I'm saying, in the playoffs, game one, PNC Arena, hopefully, because hopefully the Hurricanes will clinch home ice advantage. You got to go with Freddie just because of the veteran presence. I get Kochetkov has been there the entire season, but Freddie's Freddie, man. Freddie is Freddie.
I completely agree with you, and I'm not arguing against it. I'm just wondering if there's not a few, that's a bummers, right? And with such a strong call. Again, I started this whole thing by saying it's not really a concern, but is there a 0.2% chance that it turns into something?
The only concern that I could see it being is just Kochetkov maybe gets a little frustrated.
I'm not saying
it's going to cause a
Kochetkov's
riffle.
Kochetkov's best friends are a little frustrated, like a little rift in the locker room.
Yeah.
It's a point, I'll go 0.02%, but it's a percent that is not zero. What's your concern?
My concern? The parking fee hasn't gone down. No,
my concern is...
The playoff tickets are just wildly expensive there now. And so, again, grasping at straws.
Is Media Row becomes more crowded during the postseason?
Is my spot going to be reserved still for the playoffs? No. Again, kind of grasping at straws here. I think it's just returning to action tonight following a five-day break. I mean, you can make two arguments. One is great. You get your legs back underneath you. And the Hurricanes just came off a grueling stretch. Mm-hmm.
You could argue this is kind of the perfect time for your last break because you still have, what, seven, eight games?
Seven games left.
Seven games. So it's like those are your knock the rust off games. But you have a little bit of fresh legs. But, I mean, you're always worried coming off of some kind of a break.
But within those seven games, you could make an argument that the Hurricanes, I don't want to say have the toughest remaining schedule in the NHL, but...
Bruins a couple times, including tonight.
Bruins twice, including tonight, and they're currently first in the Atlantic Division, second overall in the Eastern Conference, and third overall in the league. Then they turn right around and play the Washington Capitals tomorrow night at home. The Capitals are making one last push thanks to Alec Ovechkin doing Alec Ovechkin things.
And there's
things.
Some emotions there for Orlov and Kuzi.
Exactly. The Capitals now fourth overall in the Metro Division, second overall in the wild card standings behind the Lightning, eighth in the Eastern Conference and seventh overall in the league. And then you wrap up the last home game of the regular season with the Blue Jackets, who are eighth in the Metro. That's about all you can say about the Blue Jackets. But then you go and close out the regular season on the road at Columbus, and depending on where the Blue Jackets' season's at that point, that might be their Stanley Cup playoff game.
There is a St. Louis and Chicago game mixed in there also.
Yes.
They're not all the toughest games in the world. Let's get to our confidence quickly here because we're going to be talking with Dennis soon. My confidence is the first line. Aho, Jarvis, Gensel. Gensel, Aho, Jarvis. Jarvis, Aho, Gensel. Like, whatever order you want to put them in. And here's the thing. It's because of all three. This is my crusade for, like, my talking point for talking about these guys. I've talked individually about all of them. And I think it's because they've all been playing well. And at times, they all get swept under the other. Like, Gensel shows up. He's got double-digit assists. He's creating all these. Everybody wants to talk about Gensel. Jarvis is doing the things that you need to do to play for Rod. He's forechecking. He's defending. He's giving his body up. He's getting in front of the net and creating
well
ricochets. He's doing, and that becomes a thing. And then Aho has a streak where he has multi-point games and a bunch in a row and, you know, a game winner in OT and all of a hat trick. Like, and then they're all kind of like under-talked about because the others are doing so great. And then they're talked about, but the others are under-talked about. So now, like, anytime I talk about these guys, I'm talking about all three. It's because they're playing well. It's because they're playing well together. It's because they get it. It's because they understand their roles. Those three, I trust if you're down 2-1 in a postseason game of a must-win game and there's 5 minutes left and they're starting their shift, I trust that they have about as good a chance as any line in the NHL to come away with that goal that you need to tie it up, and that is because of all three of them, not because of any one or two.
The penalty kill.
Kane's
penalty kill. Yep, that's my confidence. 3-for-3 against – I'm a man of special teams. 3-of-3 against the Canadiens on Saturday. Why did I say it like that? Improving to 76-for-84 over the last 26 games at a whopping 90.5%. They held their opposing power play scoreless in 25 of their last 31 contests, including 13 of their last 14 games. Carolina's 53 games without a power play goal allowed are the most for any teams in the 2023-2024 season.
Now it's time to update the Hurt Confidence Meter. Bring it up. There you go. For those of you watching on YouTube and on our multiple video streams, the Hurt Confidence Meter is set to plan the parade, and it hasn't moved. Last week, I got my checks and balances system in here. I had my confirmation when we brought in Adam Gold, and he said, no, it's in the right spot. It's playing the parade. You know, I've mentioned some of the teams that I grew up rooting for, one of them being the New York Mets, and Adam Gold also is a Mets fan. So I think we both have that natural put in us feeling by the Mets that, like, when things are going too well, you start to look around going, what am I missing? So it had been I had set the Hurt Confidence Meter at plan the parade pretty much at the trade deadline, and it hadn't moved. They hadn't given me reason to waver it. They haven't given me reason to move it back. And so I just brought in the check of, like, am I missing anything? Nope. Plan the parade. This team is ready to win a cup. Now it's about execution, right? There's no, oh, darn, they weren't good enough at fill in the blank, right? There's no, oh, they would have won the cup if fill in the blank, if they had a better power play, if they had a better penalty kill, if they had a better goalie, if they had a better, there's nothing is if they had a better. Now it's just about going out and executing. It's making sure that you take care of your business when the business is there to be taken care of. That's why the confidence meter is at plan the parade. That's why we're not moving it. And I'm a little disappointed because I actually think in our little Hurt confidence meter here, the more creative answers are towards the back end, and we haven't been there all year, right? Go back to Hartford. Can Justin Williams suit up? Those are more creative. Plan the parade. This might be our year. That's where they've lived for most of the year. In Rod, we trust. That's where they've lived for most of the year on a Hurt confidence meter towards the right side, the good side. And those are good. They're just a little less creative. Now joining us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline, good work by Graham getting him hooked up. Our very own Dennis Cox, who is out in Phoenix taking in the action of the Final Four and the preparation going into it. Dennis, I just explained all the reasons why we need to ask you this question. What's the vibe check on NC State? How are they feeling? How are they moving?
They were themselves. They're typical upbeat, like the individual guys that you think of. Casey Morcell, when I talked to him, is very much stoic, you know, type demeanor. The energy from guys like Jayden Taylor were all what you expect to see. Even the guys in the locker room, like Ernest Ross and Snell and Breon Pass and a few other guys at towards the tail end of the media availability in the locker room were like doing a TikTok dance that they were looking to post online. So like they were themselves. That was actually the thing. It's like, oh, okay, like this is the vibe that we saw in Washington, D.C. This is what people saw in Pittsburgh and in Brooklyn, like, or not Brooklyn, but in Pittsburgh and then in Dallas. So it's they just being themselves, really.
I did see the TikTok dance on social media. This is a good time to plug it for everybody. Follow 99.9 The Fan on all your socials. Dennis is posting all the behind the scenes and insight that he's taking in Phoenix. Another thing I saw, Dennis, in the social media posting is the media swarming DJ Burns and DJ Horn pretty good, both from your social media posts and the team's. How is kind of everyone taking that? Do Burns and Horn look comfortable being celebrities? And you know, is the rest of the crew kind of eyeing it up? What's that looking like?
It's interesting because there's a lot of for DJ Horn. This is like a second homecoming when you think about it for DJ Horn because he played a couple of years here at Arizona State.
Yep.
So there's a lot of local media that were actually here talking to him for the first time this season after having covered him for a couple of years. Obviously, we know he's from the Raleigh area, so that's like a homecoming being back at NC State. But the fact that he's actually back here in Arizona just down the road from where he went to school for a couple of years, again, it's like a second homecoming for him. So there was a lot of local media down here talking to DJ Horn after obviously his success that he had here. But I think these guys are just they've embraced it because they've come to expect it because it's been happening for a while. Like anytime you go into a locker room post game, people are talking to DJ Horn, people are talking to DJ Burns. Obviously they got all these massive NIL deals and stuff that they're doing. So I think it's become something that they're used to. And even with DJ Burns, like he was just like, yeah, camera's on me. I get it. Like he just gets it. He's like, people want to talk to me. He understands it. It's not like a showboat or anything along those lines. Like nothing close to that. It's just he understands what it is. And then, of course, there are a lot of people asking him about, hey, like NFL football. And he shot that down. He's like, no chance. No chance at all. My playing football completely shot that all down.
Darn it. I want to see him in a 3-point stance. Dennis Cox.
Yeah, you're not going to see it. Sorry.
Well, you know. Him and Zach Edey would be just supersized football. Our very own Dennis Cox out there in Phoenix covering the Final Four. The road to Phoenix on 99.9 The Fan is built by Mungo Homes, ranked number 5 top workplace in the country, building homes and dream teams for 70 years. I'm not sure if they're tipping their hand or if they want to keep everything kind of state secrets. Have you heard anything from NC State about how they plan to guard Zach Edey, the big guy for Purdue?
I remember Ben Middlebrooks talking about saying, you know, we just got to go up there and just be ourselves, you know, just, you know, be physical, not back down from the challenge. That's really it. Because there's nothing you could do to like compensate for height. You know, Zach Edey is, as having stood next to him, is all of like the 7'3", 7'4" that he's billed to be. He is a very large individual, but from hearing those guys, like, you know, we have a strong front court too. You know, they also have to deal with us. Which I thought was a pretty interesting mentality, especially hearing from Ben Middlebrooks. Like, hey, that they have to deal with us too. It's not just us dealing with them. Like, they have to deal with us too, and they feel like they have a really strong front court. Does NC State? So it was interesting to hear have that mentality. It's like, yeah, okay, we had to face you, but you got to face us.
Well, okay, let's flip the question then. I know you were this afternoon in Purdue's media availability. What is Purdue saying about DJ Burns in that front court?
It's interesting. Zach Edey was asked about it, especially because there's Klingman, there's Edey, there's obviously DJ Burns, and he was asked about the big men as a whole. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of like a revival of the big man, at least when it comes to college basketball. And he was asked specifically about Burns, and he said he spoke pretty glowingly of him. He's like, you know, I feel like some people might be treating it as like a sideshow, like, oh, here's this big guy, you know, doing these things. And it's like, you know, you got to look at him. He's like, this dude's a legit great basketball player. Like, he's a great passer. He has great touch around the rim. So he spoke very glowingly of him. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, he understands that there's a challenge on guarding DJ Burns with his ability to finish around the rim, his passing ability. Like, they're respecting him as a basketball player, not just the cool, fun story that a lot of national media is making out to be. He's like, no, you got to deal with him as a basketball player, and he's a legit threat.
Dennis Cox, our very own, following the Final Four in Phoenix, joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. The Purdue story, like I don't want to just say vibe check again, but as somebody that covered UVA the following year after they lost to a 16 seed, then they won the national championship the following year. At every step along the way the following year, it was the most talked about thing. It was the hanging over their heads. It was you lost to a sweet six, or you lost to a 16 seed last year. You lost to a 16 seed last year. Has Purdue somehow outrun that narrative after losing last year in such a dramatic way?
I'd say so. I mean, you got to a Final Four. So you kind of can say, all right, well, last year's different. It's kind of like it's a fluke thing that happened. It happens, obviously, because it's happened a few times now. But I think for them, it was like, we have something to prove, but they want to prove that last year was the fluke. And I think you're kind of getting that mentality, or at least getting that vibe in their locker room, or you're looking for that vibe check in their locker room. It's like, yeah, we're supposed to be here, and we should have been here last year, but we let it slip in the opening round. This is exactly where we're supposed to be. A very, very business-like attitude, it felt like, from Purdue going into their locker room. There's like, yeah, we have something to prove, not only to ourselves, but to everyone out there, that this is where we're supposed to be.
All right, I'm going to hit you with my safety net question. What are we missing? What was said that surprised you, or said that you really think someone who isn't in Phoenix wouldn't pick up on when we're consuming everything going on there at the Final Four? And I will add the caveat, aside from the hotel waffles that you taunt us with on social media every day.
Hotel waffles were on point. But I went around and asked a lot of the guards. I got two nuggets for you. I went around and asked a lot of the perimeter guys, hey, what was it like shooting in the stadium? Because it's a football stadium. Because sight lines and stuff were different. And a lot of people, several of them said, like, it took a few shots to adjust, because especially from the top of the key, because that dead-on shot, because there's so much space behind the basket, you feel like you're actually further away than what you really are. So you might, clank one off the back of the rim or off the backboard or something like that. So it just took a few shots to kind of get adjusted to it. But I remember Jaden Taylor telling me that, Syracuse sometimes has a little bit of that, because obviously you're playing in the dome, but they move the seats and adjust the benches, or adjust the bleachers and all that stuff. So it doesn't feel like you're playing in a football stadium, even though you are. So like, there's a little bit of, I guess, lack of a better term, familiarity when it comes to that. But I talked to Dennis Parker Jr. He was actually cleared to return actually just this past Sunday. So he's actually cleared and ready to go.
Wow.
So if Kevin Keats and the NC State runs into foul trouble, or whatever it might be during the course of the game, Dennis Parker Jr. is available. So we know that he played a ton of minutes earlier on this season, started a whole lot of games. So Dennis Parker Jr. is available, something that we haven't seen in several weeks. But he's available, and he's going to dress and be ready to go this coming Saturday.
You talk about getting used to the arena. Did anybody think to measure the three-point line? I know Wes Moore and the Wolfpack women's team may recommend doing that.
There were a lot of jokes about that, like making sure everything was right where it was supposed to be. Like, are these rims 10 feet tall? Is the free throw line where it's supposed to be? Yeah, there was definitely some jokes about that for sure.
Dennis, we appreciate you. As always, we'll check back in with you as we lead up to the Final Four, and enjoy Phoenix.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Once again, that is our very own Dennis Cox out there covering the Final Four, the men's Final Four, as NC State prepares to play Purdue. We'll have sound that he's gathered from those events throughout the rest of the week.